LA Talk Radio thanks you for being a listener. Did you know you too can host your own radio show with us? Go to our site at latalkradio.com or email info@latalkradio.com right now and start your show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, July 27th.
Good morning.
I don't know why, Rachel, I was thinking it's the 28th today. For some reason, I kept thinking yesterday was the 27th.
Did we say it was the 27th?
No.
Did we say it was the wrong day?
No, it says 27th here, so I'm good with that.
We're on
My head, yeah, is like a day ahead or something.
Oh, you know, just live in the future.
I guess so. Maybe I'm just waiting for the weekend subconsciously.
You're just an optimist, you know?
Me?
Yeah.
No. The people that know me do not think I am. I try to be. I work hard on it. But yeah. No, I'm not an optimist by a long shot. But beautiful day in LA today. It's gotten a lot less hot, huh?
It's gotten more pleasant.
Yeah, a lot more pleasant.
I enjoy being outside.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to maybe some beach time.
Ooh,
over the weekend.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, it's just that everybody goes there on the weekend, you know. So what
you
got to
find the right spots,
right?
Or go early or go late. Yeah,
you know, like really late, like going at 4 or 5, and then you can stay there for the evening.
Or just get one of those like pop up tents where you don't have to see everyone.
Right.
You know? Just make it your own.
Right, but where are you going to park? That's the problem.
I Uber.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Uber just make is the best someone thing. Else drive.
I don't even
they worry about.
I don't
parking.
Even think about that. So yeah, just park a few blocks from the beach and take an mm-hmm. Uber or something, mm-hmm. right? Good
you
idea.
Know, full of them.
Yeah, you see. we do have a special guest in the studio, a friend of Rachel's, and we'll introduce her in just a moment.
She's more than a friend, but we'll get to
more
that.
Than a friend.
I mean,
that's awesome.
It sounds weird now that I'm like,
no, that's not what I was.
But to the people listening at the home, they're like, oh, Rachel brought her girlfriend, her romantic interest. I'm like, more than a friend.
Not this time around, folks.
Still platonic.
Yeah.
Although, if you see some of our videos, you might question.
Really?
Well.
Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. That's cool. So, I wanted to bring up the fact that... Oh, I do have... By the way, you talked about the tent. I do have a tent like this. I bought a tent last year. I haven't even used it yet.
For camping?
Yeah,
a beach
for
tent?
Camping. Because it's been either too hot or too cold.
Do you
then
like
I don't
to
know
camp?
Where the hell... I would like to.
Yeah, have you
I haven't camped since I was a kid.
Oh, man, I love camping.
Right? Isn't
yeah.
it cool?
I mean, I think there's ways to, like... There's a spectrum, right? There's
yeah.
roughing it.
Right,
which is, like,
right.
lay out a tarp.
Right. That's too much roughing.
And then
it.
There's like glamping, right?
Right?
I try to do somewhere in the middle where like I still have the tent, but I'm not maybe sleeping directly on the ground. Like
uh-huh.
there might be a soft mattress per se.
Uh-huh.
Maybe several blankets.
That's true, yeah. And then you move up to tents and RVs
right.
and all that so, stuff, yeah.
I mean, RV. I mean,
RV
it's
is
just
the best
fancy
though,
camping.
I know, but it's the best, I'm telling you. You go to those you drive by the beach and along the coast and you see all these RV
okay, you're
places.
Just talking about the Jewish mother's approved version of camping.
Is that
is
what it is?
Safely in an RV with the door shut tight, plenty of food, locked inside.
Yeah, five-star
you know what I mean?
Camping.
Lots
you know?
Of sunscreen, bug repellent. I mean, that's the way my mom would be like, yeah, she's going camping.
Yeah, let us travel.
In a fancy, huge RV.
But,
driven by a chauffeur.
Yeah.
Camper.
Exactly. That's the way it should be, you know. So, anyway, I just want to tease this thing. Did I tell you we're going to do this Manhattan Beach thing?
What are the dates of this?
Okay, so that's going to be August 12th. It's a Saturday, and it's going to be in Manhattan Beach. They're going to have like a big... thing there, you know, an event, and they invited us to come there and broadcast and stuff. So
what time is that?
I also 2 to 6. It's 2 to 6 in the afternoon.
Oh goodness. Yeah. I'm double booked that day.
Oh my god.
Well, you know what? I'll have to be
we'll
in Manhattan.
Do your best.
Manhattan earlier in the day and then Malibu in the evening. I have that. I'm an event. I'm doing an event called the Emerald Exchange earlier in the
evening. What's that?
Or later in the evening, which you should come to.
What is it?
It's in Malibu. It's put on by this girl named Jessica. And she just, I think it's just a bunch of brands that are typically organic or sun-grown medicine, you know, typically flower, but also different vendors can come in Malibu, come to Malibu and put on this event where people can, from the public, can purchase tickets to come and meet these vendors and attend these like cannabis themed speakers. And
sounds
I'm going to be
good.
There.
Yeah,
I'm
like
going to be
come.
There. Speaking, doing comedy, rolling up joints, talking about cannabis. So,
you'll be in your element, Rachel.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, and then in the earlier in the day, I'll be in the Manhattan Beach with Sam.
Yeah. There you go.
It's gonna be crazy.
I'm inviting everybody to come. If you're in Southern California, you can't go wrong. You can meet our hosts and stuff. Be on the radio. We're going to meet a lot of people and just be a happy bash. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I've never done anything
like this
before. I'm
stoked. The day at the beach.
Yeah, right? But it's not at the beach. That's the problem.
It's called
a lunch at the beach.
Okay.
But it's not on the beach.
Okay.
So that's like, a shitty thing. It's actually near the 405.
So can we just rename it to lunch at the 405?
I went to see where it is.
We got a lunch at the 405.
I know. Honestly. It's called the Manhattan Beach Media Center, but it's not on the beach. And what can you do? It's not even Manhattan Beach. It's like Hawthorne.
All right,
there
now
or
I'm getting upset.
You know?
So we're having lunch at Hawthorne at the 405. So
right.
Just call it what
there
it is.
There you go. Exactly. But it's a Manhattan Beach lunch at the beach.
Maybe it's Manhattan Beach themed.
Yeah. Probably. But it's by their Chamber of Commerce.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, maybe I don't know how it's working and stuff. But I did go to check out where it is, and it's not on the beach. Mm. At any rate, let's bring in our guest right now. Why don't you go ahead and introduce her to us?
I'm very excited to introduce today's guest. Mm-hmm. She is obviously a friend to me, but she's so much more. She's a mentor. She's my first mentor in the cannabis industry. I think the only mentor I have in the cannabis industry, but she and I, her name is Olivia Alexander. She's amazing. She goes by many other aliases in the cannabis world.
Why is that, Olivia?
Weed Bay, Kush Queens, Bud Feed.
Oh, you don't want people to know who you are. If you don't have a fake name, you
really?
Know,
like
a lot
a porn
of
star
the old days, you know, people had it's fake true. Names and
right.
No, it's Instagram. You know how yeah. people start to call you by your Instagram name?
That's true.
It's what happens. So that's thanks cool. for having me, guys.
Well, of course. Thank you for joining us.
But I want to say that yes. She is not just in the cannabis industry. She's also an actress and an advocate and a businesswoman.
Ah.
So she wears many hats.
It's true.
She smokes many weeds.
My kind of girl.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, are you like involved in your entire life is cannabis? I mean, is that how you make a living?
Yeah, I don't have a day job.
Really?
I only have a weed job.
So tell us how that works.
So I was an actor and I was living in LA and I was pretty unsatisfied with just like the treatment I was getting on set. I was around long enough to see huge budgets and then long enough to see them go away. Right. And everything became $100 a day, Saglo budget, not everything, but a lot. And I was just really not feeling it. And then I walked into a vape shop about 4.5-5 years ago and I purchased my first little vape battery and I went home and I put Swarovski crystals bling bling on it and I took it back to the store to get another one for my friend and the guy from the store was like, oh, I want to buy 10.
Really?
And I was like, really looking for a departure from the industry in a way. And I always made and designed things with my mother. I really probably could have been a fashion designer with her. We could have been like a mother-daughter team, but we basically created a company in our kitchen with $700. And a week later I had a website and a month later I had made $6,000. And then the rest is sort of just,
you made $6,000 for more.
From 700, we opened up a e-commerce store. We put our designs on, and I opened.
But
up
designs
an
for what? I'm trying to understand.
Vaporizers.
Oh, for the vaporizers. Okay. No, because I know what vaporizers is, but you talked about the battery. So you decided to design.
Yeah, that's what we basically created not custom, but fashionable vaporizers. So leather batteries, feather batteries, Swarovski crystals, just rainbow, just. not very black, cool. not okay. masculine.
It was gotcha. Very, it was, it, she was creating something for a female market that right. is, you know, because women enjoy cannabis just right. like men. And she was creating something for people who didn't have this yeah. before.
Right. So that's a great idea. So you saw. So.
Well, it was. It's not anymore. So don't try to do it now.
Well, right, she did right. it before it became trendy. I mean, well, she was one of the first people to actually do this. Create a product for women who enjoy cannabis.
And I was the one of the first people to sell vapes online. I mean, the where I was able to stand as far as people, they hadn't even see vapes before, and I was selling them crystallized and feathered. And so I was just able to corner the market on fashion vaporizers and accessories for women. And then I started pages about Instagram, or pages about cannabis on Instagram shortly thereafter, which really is what opened the door for me into the industry. That's when brands started to approach me, want me to do creative work for them. I started a creative agency, and then I just basically worked for other brands behind the scenes while I ran mine and just learned as much as I could so I could yeah. basically launch my own brand, which I was already doing. It's just so hard to just already have a few businesses and then say, oh, I'm going to launch a cannabis company too off of this legitimate business, because then you jeopardize everything that you're doing that is legitimate.
Right.
So it was a journey, but after working for a really big cannabis company called Bang for an entire year, I did their media, their social media, their content. I really just saw like a look inside of what a multi-million dollar cannabis brand looks like. And
wow.
It's not that impressive.
Yeah,
I thought I could do it better.
Really?
So that's when, like, about in January of this past year, I decided to not work with that company anymore, just because the size of the account is so large. You don't have any time for anything else. So that's when I really started pursuing Kush Queen, and that's what we've really been focusing on, along with the agency, but really just making a really great quality brand of products that maybe secretly is targeting women. Not well, so secretly. Our packaging is like flowers. So we sell bath bombs. But,
not so discreet.
No, but you picked a niche, and that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to focus on something. Yep. So that's amazing. And you decided you're going to be an entrepreneur, part of this growing space. Where are you getting like new ideas all the time of how to continue in this industry?
Oh yeah, I mean, I could probably start a new business every day, but I diversified enough to protect myself with what's going to happen in the next 5 or so years, just because people have no idea what regulation really means. You know, they have no idea that you could spend months growing a product that can then be recalled. You could buy your oil from someone, make thousands of bath bombs, think that oil is clean, and then it can be totally recalled, or it could be recalled in air. You know, there's so many things that are going to start to happen. Right. There's so many different sort of issues that can transpire with regulation. So I just wanted to be ready that if my brand gets caught up in some issue, or God forbid, you know, they change the rules. Right now, that's really the big one, is that the rules change every day. We have a product that I'm a part of that's a cannabis beer, and the rules now say you can't sell anything in a can. So that's a new development. So it's just sort of like an everyday thing where you're kind of, you're just navigating the maze, and I have a number of mazes, and I'm just going to keep moving forward with those and hope that, you know, I'm
like
diversified enough.
She's a marijuana mouse. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, you have to be. You either, yes. Or you have, if you're not a big fish, you know, you have to be a little mouse, and you right. have to be willing, because the reality is even some of the biggest players right now, they have pending lawsuits for Prop 65 violations and some really like scary stuff that like no business owner wants to deal with. And many of those big brands, you may never hear their name again, yeah. because they're going to be sued into submission by a really smart lawyer who realized that 90% of the cannabis in Los Angeles is poison, mm-hmm. and he's going to clean up. So it is one of like those, it's just crazy. Every day is sort of like a new thing.
Right.
And it's kind of like, who knows what kind of crap is going to hit the fan today, but you're guaranteed that something is going to happen, and it will be very interesting, yeah, to say the least.
Yeah.
Not a dull moment.
Yeah, right? So now, so the regulations are like all over the place with this thing, mm-hmm, right? And I think, if, like you said, if you know how to navigate that, you're probably going to succeed.
Well, that's why it's good to have people like 420 attorneys, and,
right,
and when you get into this business, that's the one thing. Another thing, there's so much I admire about Olivia, and that's what attracted me to her from the beginning, of like, I need to know this person, she, I need to be of service to her because I can learn so much from her.
Be of service.
She's, yeah, ridiculous. Yeah. Not of service of, yeah, me.
Let,
no,
me be,
I'm not of service of her.
No, it's no, I just,
it's,
I,
the other way,
I,
around.
I she's so incredible. I admire her so much. I forgot what I was saying, but now I remember. She has always, this industry is very controversial. You know, it's very, like we were talking about, it's a new, right, industry. The regulations are coming out every day. There's something new, but Olivia has always tried to do it, you know, to the best of her ability by the books,
right,
you know? And that's,
I'll give
as
you
much,
$20 later.
That's as, I mean, that's all you can ask for, is someone, you know, who is passionate about the industry that they're passionate about, but going about it, you know, to the right way.
Well, yeah. I'm an activist first. Like, I think that's why I'm probably better in business than most of other people in the cannabis industry, is because, like, I don't think you should just take from something, especially something that's like a plant is weirdly in this state of prohibition. Like, we can't just have this industry and these rules and these products and just continually take from it. Like, you have to be willing to give back in some aspect, because we're not anywhere. We're just in California allowed to do what we want to do. But the minute you step outside of that, which is every day for me, because I need banking, because I need to order things from China, and people don't know what it's like to walk into a bank and know that you're technically breaking the rules, and that if they actually find out what the K means in the TK of your LLC, they're probably going to tell you to take all your money out of the bank. And there's just so many rules all the time. And I just tell people, like, yeah, as a consumer, especially in Southern California, it's everywhere. It's in, right, our culture. But as a business owner, we have so far to go. And I would be just, like, basically harming myself if I didn't constantly be reminding people that we still have a long way to go. Prohibition has not ended.
Right.
And even yesterday, my lawyer said, there's a new task force at the USPTO for, right, attorneys whose job it is to stop cannabis trademarks from happening, because I have a couple trademarks in cannabis. Well, right, not the category, but,
right,
sort of. And so it's just like one of those things that I just feel like I want to be a part of the conversation. I want to be a responsible business owner, and I want to hold people accountable. And I do that with my social media, and it sometimes makes enemies, and I'm deleted off of Instagram right now, and I am pursuing legal action against Instagram in order to recover my pages and to finally get an answer, because for 5 years I've been trying to have discourse with them about their terms of service and how legal cannabis either violates it or doesn't, and they just don't want to have a conversation.
That's,
you know,
the thing. Yeah, that's, yeah, the, yeah, thing with marketing and cannabis. That's such a weird world right now. It's, right, such a gray area, because we have brands like High Times and Weed Maps and Tommy Chong who have the blue check mark.
They're verified.
Next to they're verified on Instagram. They're verified, right, on all these social media platforms. But then you have business owners who don't have the blue check mark, but, right, are a legitimate business.
I'm not even a business. My Weed Bay page, I'm an activist. I'm,
she's
a person.
An activist.
You can't shut,
we're
down a person
shut down,
right, for terms of service violations when I'm a person. I'm not even selling things through the page. It's a personal page in which I post photos and videos and promote, obviously, myself as Weed Bay. But it's really, it's been something that I've dealt with for years. I've spoken to Fortune. I've spoken to lots of big publications, and they've cared, and we've tried to get Instagram to answer. And sadly, like, people in cannabis are just trying to float. Like, they're just trying to survive. Right, you know, understand, right, how it is when you're running a business. You're trying to do the day-to-day. Not everybody has the ability to go out there and fight. But I can't not fight anymore.
Right.
I've been targeted now for years. I've been extorted for $25,000 myself. I'm attached to a group who's been extorted for about $500,000. And in the next few weeks, we're going to go public with our story, with our records. I have the names of these people who were employed by Instagram. And, you know, extortion and all this is a whole nother, like, can of worms.
Right.
But I don't want it to like have people forget that until we have a federal policy that protects what we do in this state, every single person as an entrepreneur or as a person trying to pursue a business is swimming upstream.
Right. Taking a big risk too, right?
Yeah, because even my trademarks now, they could be revoked. You try to get things in at the border, they're seizing anything related to cannabis at the border. If it says cannabis on it, we have to be back in the days of for tobacco use only. And it's just like, this is exactly what they're going to do, is they're going to choke us at a federal level as hard as possible for the next 5 years. And I just have faith in California and sort of the way that a lot of the legislators have chosen to stand up, and the amount, the billions we have at stake here. But it's really scary when, you know, you have a person infringing on your brand, which is something I have right now. And technically, I can't protect it because cannabis isn't a category.
Right. So there's no laws that protect you from
right.
it. Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, you are a pioneer, and that's usually what pioneers go through, yeah. you know. They're the first ones exactly. with arrows in their backs, like they say, you know. So you have to weather the storm. But there's always a reward when you get there early, right?
Of course. Because this is mine. She's right. sitting right here. I got a child out of this. Yeah, right? Some people have to hold them inside of them for many, many months and then birth them. She just showed up like a grown adult who already likes to smoke. And right. then she said, hey, mom, let's do this. So I got a kid out of
so
it.
So she's yeah. your adopted kid.
That's originally, we met, Olivia and I met because I had my weed humor account, my memes account.
Uh-huh.
And I saw on Instagram all of these big cannabis accounts seemed to be ran by the same people. And there was just like five or six of them that just put out really good content. I found out it was a woman behind the brand. I was shocked. I was like, what?
Really?
There's a boss lady in cannabis.
Uh-huh.
We met and I said, I want to create a cannabis podcast, you know, can we do it together? And she supported me and put a ton of faith in me, and we created a cannabis podcast before everyone was doing it. Now
yeah,
there's
this
so
was
many
like
everywhere.
Over a year ago. Now yeah. there's a lot, but we definitely started our podcast, and I mean, we're still special because mm-hmm. we have like me who has all the knowledge in the world. Like I know too much. You know, you say a brand name and I'll tell you everything about them.
She actually works in the industry.
Really? I know how to grow. I know exactly. how to extract, like truly could do it. Could tell you how to do it with my own hands. I'm not just a person who like claims to know. I've really done it. I've really owned a lab. I've really owned a grow. I wish I could kind of do that every day, but it's still so illegal. You can't. But that's why I love Rachel. Her perspective is because she's like a real consumer. Before I even met her, she always bought the best stuff and really consumes the product. And there's just so many posers nowadays in this industry.
Because it's trendy.
It's so weird. Trendy. Like
right, exactly. And there's no regulation. There's no lab. There's no testing. There's no nothing, right?
We don't want to test our food either, honestly. Like if we went to the grocery store and tested the food the same way we're testing cannabis, we'd be scared out
there
of our
There are testing for cannabis. We just came back from a festival that in your products, in order to be entered to be voted upon, had to be they tested every single
anyone.
Product.
Like for the amount of THC and all that stuff?
Pesticides.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The bad stuff.
Because right. there's a lot of these products, and this is the downside of not having enough regulation, is there's a lot of these people who are claiming to be cannabis brands putting out products that aren't good for you. They're cutting corners on costs with...
It's the worst
quality.
It's the worst kind of problem, because what happens is you spend, say, $25,000-$30,000 growing your crop over, especially in Los Angeles, indoors over a 3 month period.
Right.
You get to the end, and what do you know? You have PM, powdery mildew, which is something that you don't ever want to breathe in.
Right.
You definitely don't want to combust it and light it on fire, which is what you do.
Right.
Because people forget these chemicals, they change. If you take a chemical like a PGR, like microbutanol, which is a plant growth regulator, it makes your nugs look like really hard and round, which isn't the way your weed is supposed to look.
Uh-huh.
And you light that on fire or you combust it in a vape, it turns into cyanide. You are literally breathing in a chemical that will absolutely give you... They gave it to mice. The mice all had liver failure. It wasn't good. And what happens is... The bottom of the barrel oil is what ends up in your vape cartridges. So the vape cartridges then are heating up that chemical, and then people in mass are breathing it in and consuming this, and it can make you very sick.
Wow.
But so, like, but, I said,
yeah,
our food is still full of poison too. Right. It's just, it's a really tough issue, because do I actually think the way we even test cannabis today is the way we're going to test it in 10 years? No.
Right, right.
The science is going to be, the growth we should see as far as the science in the next 5 to 10 years, now that the ban on research has been lifted, should be monumental.
That's going to be a whole nother industry,
right,
for people to make money off of.
Dude, well, if you're going to go to college, like, soon science. Enough, there are going to be universities studying cannabis. You're going to be able to, like,
well, Israel,
be in a biology program and play with weed.
Israel is one of the biggest, I think, researchers and innovators in cannabis in the world.
Right, right. Like, with everything else, pretty much, Israel is leading.
So true.
Excuse
military, me. Military, marijuana.
Say so myself,
no bias on this show.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I can actually list a lot of achievements that Israel has made, but that's for another show.
No, the cannabis is, they have absolutely been leading the way as far as medical research, and it's pretty much the exact opposite of what we've been doing here in this country, because the pharmaceutical industry has lobbied the federal government to stop that research, to make sure that the recreational movement is completely going to be one big deterrent from the conversation of, is this plant a medicine? And more importantly, people like me who are on, like, the way end of the spectrum, and I know some people are going to say I'm crazy, but I'm willing to take that risk.
Okay.
That endocannabinoid deficiency is an actual disease, and it is affecting our population in mass. Because what PTSD actually is the trauma causing the body to stop producing natural occurring cannabinoids.
People don't realize.
Your body's producing them. My body's producing
them. We have an endocannabinoid system.
Right.
Everyone.
It's
our body.
Regulating.
We produce it.
Your most important body functions. Your pain. Your sleep. It is the pain pathway of the spine full of endocannabinoid receptors. And so there's this doctor who is an endocannabinoid doctor. Specialist. She studies she has a PhD. She studied it for 10 years before she even studied cannabis. And she has a book called Vitamin Weed. And it actually argues that, in fact, cannabinoids are good for us, and they're helping you. And that's why people who have Crohn's, some of them get introduced to cannabis and their symptoms go away. They're cured, because that's why when you smoke a joint in the morning, you got to go take a poop. It's all
really
connected.
Really, does that? It does that.
It's all connected.
Yeah. That's true.
I just want the research to happen, because that's what people say. That people are like, oh, well, if there was more research. And it's like, if you tried to do research, I know people who tried to do research at Pepperdine, and they're blocked. They're told, no, if you're trying to get a master's or a PhD and you bring forth a thesis that has anything to do or had anything to do related to cannabis in the last few years, you got denied.
Right, right. And they don't give, and they don't give funding and things like that. Exactly.
Right.
But that's amazing. So you're really passionate about this and everything, and that's good, because it gets you involved in the industry. You become an expert. You become somebody that people listen to and admire, like Rachel does you. And, how early in your life did you discover marijuana?
I was 18. I mean, I was around it for the first time when I was 14. Like, I knew someone was smoking in a recording studio, but I was like a DARE kid. So, like, I got in the car, I busted out crying, and I told my mom, you know, like, I knew someone in Louisiana where I was from who was murdered buying weed when I was in third grade. And so cannabis to me was a drug that you could go to jail and you could get killed over, because I grew up in the South. And then I moved to LA when I was 13 officially to really pursue acting full time. And I was around it a lot more. And then when I was in college, I was 18, when someone was like, hey, you want to hit this bong? And I was like, sure. And I was just so taken aback by, like, I cannot handle alcohol. Like, I'm like a two drink kind of girl. Cheap.
And you
date.
Know, that's usually the case with people that like weed. Yep. They don't like to drink that much.
Well, I'm horrible.
Most
at
of
it.
Us do not.
I mean, I still like to drink. Don't get me wrong. Like, I do like it. I can't handle it. Mm. I am 5'2". So a person with my, like, body can only consume so much alcohol, and, like, the way that our culture consumes it is, like, on another level, so I couldn't keep up. And then I was naturally, like, choosing cannabis on the weekends or like out at a club or anything over alcohol. So that frequently made me the designated driver.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always was like, you know, just... I never, my dad found my pot when I was about 18 and I thought like, oh God, here I go. I'm getting kicked out.
I know.
And he was like, you know, I'm so happy that you smoke. Like, this is so much better than alcohol. Where did you get this? I'm buying really shitty weed.
Right. When your dad asked you where you get it.
Yeah.
That helped me that my dad was also secretly consuming cannabis. And then when he realized that I did.
And that's what this generation is finding out. You see, my kids started smoking at a certain time. And then they find out that I do.
Right.
And I've been hiding it all these years, you know.
Well, you guys were the original hippie generation.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you guys were the
I mean, my dad talks about like getting weed in like the 70s, and it sounds so
sketchy.
So long ago,
scary. No, yeah. It just sounds like it looked like he told me it looked like rabbit food. Like, I'm like, that's not good. You know,
well, that was the homegrown stuff.
Not
people were homegrown stuff, and it was like so terrible.
Seeds,
but then
stems.
Seed stems, it was all Mexican
I would be worried
Colombian,
about that.
You know?
That's the reason why our parents' generation maybe isn't thinking.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
My memory is gone.
Who knows what was in that stuff?
I know. In history books of cannabis, which don't exist, but
they will.
I know, we should write one. I believe that the real good stuff didn't actually start to happen in cannabis until the late 90s and then 01 when 9/11 happened. Mm. Because what people don't realize is that the United States and California specifically was not a producer of cannabis. We were importing it.
From
Mexico and Canada. And what happened, like all the BC bud was coming down, like major players in cannabis were moving lots of weight into California. And then 9/11 happened and they were trying to get it into the border, but they couldn't. And that is when we really became...
We're like, cool, we have to start doing it ourselves.
Oh, yeah. And then LA culture, like the fact that we are to thank for indoor growing, like people would never have done that unless they had to.
Right.
And that's something that could possibly one day lead us to ending sort of world hunger in a way, if you will. Like, I mean, I know it's a stretch, but like, I'm an activist, so I have to. But if you think about it, growing indoors in a controlled environment, like if people could grow food the way that we grow cannabis inside and control the environment in places where they have no access to fresh fruits and vegetables, like we could be onto something. And, you know, you give people restrictions and they will overcome them. Humans are amazing. And that's really what people have done with these indoor facilities in Los Angeles. And they're just everywhere. And the city just keeps messing up with the regulation. They don't want it here. But it's like, it's everywhere. Like, I wonder at any given time how close we all are to like a massive indoor grow.
Right.
Because they're everywhere.
But you know what? You guys got to understand also, you know, you can sit here and complain about how things are. When we were growing up smoking this, it was like a fucking crime to even have a seed in your car.
Yeah.
You know, so I was constantly in fear all the time of the police, of this, to this very day. Yeah, to this very day, you know. But it was always like, it was, and nobody would admit, so, you know, nobody would admit they're smoking, you know, and only now people are coming out.
Dude, I mean, we just got gay marriage how many years ago. I don't expect people to be as far as, you know, we are with cannabis. I just wonder when will be the day that our generation is going to start to tip it as far as the policy, because that's the biggest issue, is that people like yourself, you're not in politics because you're not that kind of person, right? Neither am I. But we need people like us
in politics to change.
And absolutely. So it's like every day, it's just like a ticking clock of me when I'm going to have to like become a politician.
I think you said yesterday, you're like, or someone was like, don't be so focused on becoming an Instagram model. Like, go out and
that
be
was
a politician.
That was me on social Snapchat. I was like, everybody tells me, oh, I want to be on Instagram, I want to be an influencer, I want to be a YouTuber. And I'm like, if you can not do that, I would suggest don't do that.
Right.
And I would suggest choosing a career in which you can impact change. That's the biggest issue, is that I had all of the tools to be a politician, because if you're an actor, you could be a politician. It's a very 100%. Similar life.
Okay,
but instead of my mother pushing me towards, you know, I probably could have gone to Yale or Harvard or an Ivy League school and become a politician. She didn't. She wanted me to be an actor because that's what people value in our society, and or at least my family.
Well, that's so you're very fortunate, because a lot of people are not their parents are not as supportive when they want to get into acting.
Oh, God, you know my mom. Saying? Well, my parents will support me. They support me in cannabis. My mom is a trap mother, I call her. She goes to the festivals with me. She sells
her mom
product.
Is at these cannabis cup slinging medical marijuana bath
she's
bombs.
The only mom.
You know what I mean?
She's one of the only mother.
Like, she's like walks around. We're the only mother and daughter team. I'm like, well, yeah, you're the only mother crazy enough to support their daughter like selling cannabis.
Right, exactly.
But
she's like breaking bud.
Yeah, your parents definitely will shape your future. But it's interesting that mine they valued acting and all of that, which is great. It still taught me all the skills I need to be able to survive as an entrepreneur, especially.
And you choose your own path anyway, you know, so there you go. You know, it's important to support your kids as long as they don't do shit that is crazy and illegal, you know.
Yeah,
no, then you should call the police on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least like, you know, give them some rules.
Yeah. Tell me something. I want to talk more about the mechanics and everything, because I know the young kids now are dabbing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, the thing is this, is that, I'm saying young kids, she does it too, right?
Dabbing on the haters.
But isn't it harmful to do this a lot? This dabbing thing.
Okay, so
it's very serious. I mean, you get like a serious pipe there with torches. It looks like you're a drug addict when you dab like that.
Well, that is stigma.
Right.
That is a stigma.
Right.
That is the same as feeling the need to hide, because it's stigmatized. But as a dabber, look, there are many, many things that we need to research with chronic exposure to cannabis. Vaporization long term.
Right.
Long. No one knows the effects long term, and
because they haven't been able to study them.
Exactly. There are some science that claims that because cannabis is a plant, that obviously the smoke is not as harmful as tobacco. We know that, but that the medical benefits of the cannabinoids inside of your body outweigh the sort of exposure to chronic smoking.
Right.
Now, even myself, as a person who uses cannabis daily, I definitely have felt the stigma of dabbing. That's a whole nother, you know, area that people judge.
Right.
And I myself even, you know, would say that I opted out of the torch onto an e-nail just because the stigma of the torch, but it actually works better. It's better for flavor. It's better for everything. But we just don't know, you know? And I'm not sitting here telling every kid, like, oh, you should go out there and dab. But I know this. I used to take pharmaceuticals every day. I was on a cocktail of pharmaceuticals from Kaiser Permanente. I spent more money getting blood tests and lab tests because my immune system was so weak. I couldn't be out in the sun because it made me so sensitive to it. I was on antibiotics for so many years. One day I stuck my tongue out. I had a black tongue because they were trying to take care of my acne, you know, for years and years and years. And then I was on birth control, which made me depressed. And then I was on antidepressants, which made me anemic. And then you're in a circle.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know if dabbing every day is worse for me than that.
Right, right. No, absolutely.
Well, because
you know,
that to me was prison.
So it didn't help you. None of that. So like traditional medication didn't help you with depression?
Sure, it
like
helped
that?
In the beginning.
Right.
But the side effects and where it led me were not, I wasn't any better. I couldn't take baths because the pH in my body was so off.
Wow.
I couldn't. You know, even my fiance, who knew me when I was on the medication, he just says that my overall ability to engage in life, it was as if I had a glass wall, really, just trying to keep me protected because I was too sensitive.
Right.
And frankly, I think a lot of it had to do with my upbringing, that my parents didn't push me up against a wall a few times and tell me that life is actually really unfair.
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
Get over it.
There you,
you
go.
Don't necessarily, but I also think that long-term exposure to birth control is harming women, yeah. especially young millennial women like myself. I think that if you look at the exposure to birth control, if you start at a 15-year-old age, which that's when they put us all on birth control because everybody was having sex, you know, God forbid, everybody.
Mine was for
acne.
I was
not having sex. I was scared of to death of a penis. Like, I was scared. I would never. I was 15. Like,
yeah, 15 years old. Well, anybody would be scared of a penis.
Oh, not today. These,
no,
these
huh?
kids, there I know. Goes. Skirt. I'm big
I was,
scared.
I was living in Florida, and I had, years ago, and I had a dab rig set up, right?
Right.
And my boyfriend at the time came out to visit me. He's from California. But in Florida, it was almost safer to dab because it's so much more discreet than having weed. Because I
it
had,
is when you travel.
I did have cops come to my door for a weed smell. And, yeah, you know, huh? So I did have a dab rig set up, and I remember he came out to visit me, and I was, this is years ago, so this is before the dab scene even got crazy.
Oh, wow.
Whatever.
So but this was, has been around for a while. It's not
It's been around for dabbing. A while, and in Florida, it blew up because it turns out the people were making, they were extracting and making dabs in their apartments again because it right. seemed so much safer to break it down into this small form to you know,
well,
whatever.
Because it is.
To-
you can travel with it. It's odorless. When I go into a hotel, like nowadays, people are like, you know, you go to a marijuana event. They know you're there for weed. They make you sign this crazy letter, even though they
but
it changed.
You can't smoke in the
It changed.
Room.
It just
really?
Changed. I went to my first hotel, and they told me you can medicate 20 feet.
Right.
In this area, they knew we were all there for it. They were super. They gave us a balcony.
How cool is that?
It was the first time.
That's the
in
way it should
like
be.
7 years.
Right.
Of
you go.
This.
I know. I go to like hotels and stuff, and I'm always worried they're gonna smell. They're gonna this. They're gonna that.
Right.
When you sit on the patio and stuff at my apartment,
well,
you know,
dabbing,
people are smelling all the time.
You won't smell it.
I know.
It's more
I know.
Discreet. And I remember my ex looked at me when I busted out the torch and the whole setup, and was like, never do this in front of me again.
Yeah,
like, promise
yeah.
me you won't ever do this. And I remember, like, I felt shame because I was like, wow, you know, there are people out there who just don't see this the way that I do.
Exactly.
And there is a spectrum, though. There
exactly.
is. I mean, there's people consume cannabis in so many different ways. And you know, and that was the thing is he was a smoker. He smoked weed. You know what I mean? So it's just, I think it's about education.
And what people don't realize is this. This is what happened with extracts and oils. This is why we have it. Back about 7-8 years ago, the price of cannabis per pound dropped dramatically. It went from being $6,000-$7,000 a pound to being the toppest of the top shelf. You can get $3,800, you could get maybe $3,000. But people are selling their pounds for way, way, way less. And you have this really smart group of growers in Los Angeles in the SoCal area who then were just like, whatever, we're going to just turn this into oil. And when you have really fresh, frozen, amazing, amazing cannabis and you extract it, you really are getting the greatest expression of the plant.
Really?
Especially because
it's
you're combusting
the
flower. You're
consume.
Not, you shouldn't burn it. You
right,
know, there's smoke
right.
there.
So, you smoke so much plant matter
right,
when
that's
you roll
true,
a joint.
Right?
The
yeah.
real issue I think that no one is sort of getting on, which is where I've actually run into issues with the dabbing, isn't necessarily the exposure to vapor, because what you're really doing is you're vaporizing it. You're not breathing in smoke.
Right. There's no combustion there.
I do wonder though about the terpenes, which are the flavor profiles, which is what makes it have a taste and a smell.
Right.
I wonder about that exposure in the lungs, because I think it makes allergies worse.
Really? That's interesting.
So there's just a lot. I tell people every day, I'm like, someone please come study me. I consume a lot of cannabis. I'm willing to be a test dummy. I will most likely dedicate my body to science as long as they promise that it'll all go to cannabis one day.
Right.
So at least they can, you know,
girl,
see what
it is already gone to
I always
cannabis.
Admit to people, yeah. I'm like, worry. Look, this may not even be the best thing. Like, look, we may wake up in 10 years and realize that, like, no one should have alcohol ever.
The sad
ever.
Thing is we, you know, yeah. until we have the ability to do the long-term testing and the science behind it, we're kind of just like the blind leading the blind. We don't really know.
That's true.
And
so in the meantime,
yeah.
everybody lay back and enjoy yourself. Get high. What the fuck, you know? get stuck to the couch or go do whatever you can.
Well,
now,
one.
do you find that smoking every day, well, obviously, we all do and we're all very functional and stuff, but some people are not, right?
Just like
some
people aren't good at drinking.
Be doing.
I should never drink. Some people should never.
I mean, more than that, like, I'm pretty sure no human should ever eat dairy.
Right.
I don't know if it, like, you look at the science, I don't really, I eat cheese every day because I freaking love
Right, but you know, you keep comparing this, to other things. And what I'm saying is, okay, so I understand other things are dangerous, but it doesn't make the case any less.
Yeah, it does.
You know, why?
Because where is the harm? I know that every year 50,000 people die from opiate overdoses. I know that X amount of people die in drunk driving accidents. I have no death from cannabis. Right. I consume cannabis every single day. I make six figures. I will own multiple homes by the time I'm 30. I don't know. I just think that we do, yes, compare it to these other things that cause a lot of harm. But that's why I believe in cannabis, is because I believe it's the great harm reducer. I think that you have to look at everything in life. Does this cause more harm or less harm? I mean, that's what the whole transgender issue is with the whole military. They don't want to pay to have people transitioning in the military. That's right. What it comes down to, money. And so you just look at it both ways. I don't know. I mean, I personally, like Wolfie said, not everybody is meant to consume things every day. Some people just a little now and again. Even if you do it on a Friday night, I'm pretty sure the new science that just came out on alcohol says that even a little bit, especially for women, chances are is turning your body
into
cancer.
Well, to your question, what do you say to people who say cannabis isn't good for them or doesn't work for them or whatever? That's fine. You know that it doesn't work for you. Then you know that, just like certain medications. I'm allergic to Suprax and Augmentin. I'll never take their penicillin, and I won't ever take it. But that helps people. Right. Some people need those antibiotics or penicillin
What's
or whatever.
What's the story, by the way? You feel like there's noise. Are you like touching the table or something? Go on.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, so for people, the best approach to cannabis, if people ever ask, I say approach it medically.
Yeah.
Because if you approach it medically, it can't do you any harm.
And a lot of the negative effects that people claim to have had from cannabis, I can tell you come from chemicals being put in the cannabis, because a plant in its nature should not cause you harm. Now, THC, if you get too much of it, absolutely,
that's
it'll make
it
you have anxiety.
Exactly.
But I really also, like, I didn't say this, like, I really am talking about a host of cannabinoids. I'm talking about CBN, CBD, THCA, which all three of those are non-psychoactive.
People don't realize that there are parts to the plant that are purely medicinal that you can consume and will not get you high. And the reason they don't know that is because there's not a lot of information about it that's being put out there. Like, I was in Venice the other day and I walked past Creation, I think the juice spot. They're offering and selling a drink that has CBD in it. People don't even know what CBD is. It's a part of the plant that won't get you high that people consume that is purely medicinal to help with a range of different, you know, ailments or whatnot. Right. And for people who are like, cannabis doesn't work for me, or I get too weird on this. One, it's probably because you didn't approach it the right way. Like I said, medically, you probably took too much, because who's going to go into a bar and slam 10 shots after never drinking in their entire life?
Well, this morning you said, we can smoke a joint. And I was like, probably shouldn't. You know,
She knows that if she does, she might have to go to the bathroom.
Well, I just told her. I was like, hey, I don't want to have to go in the middle of the
show.
You
got to know how it works for you medically.
Here hard in the paint with nipple pasties. You know, we try to have a conscious conversation about cannabis from an entrepreneur standpoint, a female perspective. You know, I try to be as honest with people when they say this could be harming you. I say, absolutely, it could be. And I'm willing to take that risk, because for me, pharmaceuticals were leading me down a life of just being a slave to that industry.
Right.
And that's the hardest part, is that once you get hooked, you're on the hook for life.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, how is that better? How is it better to know that you're in cahoots of the biggest pyramid scheme in the world?
Well, but let me tell you. I mean, the thing is, pharmaceuticals have their place. Let me give you an example. I've suffered from bipolar disorder for many years. Mm-hmm. It took me many years to find the right medication. I do remember when I got to be so depressed that marijuana was really the only thing for me that I didn't stop. But even that wasn't working anymore. Until I finally got to get me out of my depression.
You are preaching to the choir, honey.
You're talking to people who have been there.
I was on pharmaceuticals for that since I was 24.
But what I'm saying is, I need this pharmaceuticals, but I don't. I don't think the weed can replace it 100%. But for other things, to me, it's like I can't imagine a life without it.
You got to find what works for you. For me, coming off these pharmaceuticals, because I was diagnosed with the same, I've been to doctors my entire life at 24. I said, these pharmaceuticals are not working for me. Mm. I've been on it from age 5 to 24. I was on antidepressants. Every medication that you've probably taken, I've probably taken it to.
Right.
I made the choice that I was going to approach my situation from a more natural standpoint, and so cannabis.
My brother's been, and
the trick is for people. I would never say come off your med. I would never be like, Sam, come off your pharmaceuticals.
No.
What I will say is find what works for you and just stick with that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, we're not like, I always make it clear about myself on Snapchat where I do a lot of advocacy work and I talk a lot. Is that I am not anti-alcohol or anti-pharmaceuticals. I have many friends who still use cannabis with psych meds.
Right.
My brother, I do not think he should use cannabis. He has had far too many episodes with different bipolar, depression, and personally, I support him not using cannabis, at least at this juncture in his
life. So you're
so I'm a logical objective
person about it.
I'm not saying everyone should be off of pharmaceuticals. I'm not saying if you have high blood pressure you don't need medication for that. I'm not saying if you have need to have a heart surgery you should just like let yourself die or whatever that Steve Jobs did, that guy. I mean, that's crazy. I'm just saying there are other alternatives, and I feel in our culture, especially as like a young millennial woman, there's so much pressure to take pharmaceuticals. Oh, you don't feel good? Take a Xanax. Oh, do this. I grew up in that culture, and I grew up in a culture where alcohol was accepted. You were pressured to drink.
That energy
was around, especially in Los Angeles, where illegal drugs are really popular, but no one wants to talk about that.
Right.
And I just want people to know that you can be successful and healthy and positive and wake up and smoke weed every day. And I think that's the issue, is just that like we're normally portrayed as losers.
Right. And that's a great way to wrap up the show, folks.
And you're not either.
No.
You, on the other hand.
I'm kind of a loser.
I'm just kidding.
At any rate, Olivia, where can people find you? Your website, not your website, your social media, whatever, even a website if you have any.
Yeah, people can find me on Instagram at TheLivAlexander. I have a website, IamKushQueen.com, evidently, if you want to check out my ventures. And on Snapchat, I go by Weed Bay, and we have a lot of really interesting educational content there, so check it out.
And also, check out our weed content, cannabis content videos on YouTube.
The Bud. How do people find that?
YouTube/YouTubeTheBud?
Yeah, it's YouTube.com/C, but our channel's The Bud. If you type in The Bud,
The Bud.
With two T-H-E-B-U-D-D,
D's. T-H-E-B-U-D-D. Or listen to our podcast on iTunes.
Okay, everybody listen. Yeah. Go ahead, because
just check us
we're
out.
Yeah, I mean, women in weed and
big
stuff
things
is something
are coming.
That, yeah, because I tell you, when I go to a dispensary, it's all about male clients. You rarely see. I think for every 20 guys, there's one woman that comes.
Maybe
in.
Maybe less. I always tell people, I'm like, you want to meet a man, join the cannabis
exactly.
industry. There's a lot of men.
Exactly, and all the butt tenders are beautiful girls, and that's
some
the way
more
it
than
works.
Others.
Well, let's say they're they try to be so they can attract the customers.
They very try
true.
To be
very true.
Yeah. Olivia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for
your
having
wealth
me.
Of information. You've got an open invitation to this show, and you're welcome back anytime. Everybody, check her out. Rachel, thank you.
Always.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.